As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, as many of you will know, we're spending some time this autumn thinking about discipleship, which just means following Jesus and learning from him. Our summary of that is in our leaflet about discipleship. I'm hoping you've got a copy. If you haven't had a copy, there should be some at the back. Or if there aren't, ask me and I'll make sure you get one. If you've missed any of the sermons that we've been going over the last few weeks, you can catch up with them on our Facebook or YouTube channels or on our podcast. To begin the series right back in September, we thought about the question, how close am I to Jesus today? Here at All Saints, we talk a lot about being called to be closer to Christ and sent to be closer to the others. And the starting point of getting closer to Jesus is understanding how close we are now. How close am I to Jesus today? And we've been thinking about that for a couple of weeks. And then last week, we started thinking about, okay, if this is where I am now in my relationship with Jesus, how can I get closer? What practical things can I do to get closer to Jesus? And last week, we were thinking about the place that reflecting on the Bible, on Scripture, and on prayer has within that, how they can help us get closer to Jesus. So those were helpful habits. And this week we're going to be thinking about a couple of other things we can do, which we're going to be talking about helpful hands. Okay, helpful habits was last week, and this week is helpful hands. And to be honest, there's not really any rocket science to this. It's not complicated. It's the practical outworking of two of our core values here. We talk about loving each other and loving our neighbours, which of course flow from loving God, which is another of our values. Loving each other within the church, loving our neighbours beyond the church. They both flow from that. And those themes, we find them again and again in Scripture as we read it, as we reflect on it. That theme of service. Serving in the church and serving beyond the church. You see, when we serve in church, we find that actually being an active participant in the life of the church and in church gatherings is actually much more effective in helping us grow in our discipleship, in our faith, in our relationship with Jesus, than just coming along. And as we serve beyond the church, which is where the second half of that bit comes into, sent to be closer to others, we find that actually, you know what? Jesus is found out there as much, if not actually in some cases more, than in church gatherings. God goes before. God always goes before. The Holy Spirit goes before. It's as we serve beyond the church, we discover what God is doing already in our communities. So, let's get into this by picking out a couple of verses from this well-known story about the last couple of days of Jesus' time on earth. In fact, the last 24 hours. Just hold that in your mind. It's not Sunday morning, it's Thursday evening, okay? It's Thursday evening, and it's the Thursday evening the day before Jesus was going to be crucified. Within 24 hours of him being on the cross, less than that. And Jesus has spent the last 3 years with his followers, teaching them, showing them the kingdom. And all through that time, we find them calling him master or lord or teacher. He refers to it himself in what he says tonight. You call me master and lord and teacher, and rightly so. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation, or perhaps you've been in a meeting, and everybody is looking to the same person to tell them what to do, to provide leadership. There's somebody in the room who is clearly in charge, who has the authority, who has the discernment and the wisdom to make decisions. And when that person clears their throat or is ready to speak, everyone quiets down and looks to them for the decision, for the direction, for the instructions about how things are going to be carried out. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation like that where there's somebody who is clearly the leader that everybody is looking to. And that is how it was on that Thursday evening. Everybody was looking to Jesus because Jesus was their Lord, their teacher, their master. And then at the beginning of verse 3, we read this. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Can you imagine that? Everyone in the room is looking to Jesus as the one in charge. And Jesus has this conviction, this inner knowledge that God has put everything under his power. I wonder if you've heard the saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Heard that? And we have ample evidence at the moment that this is usually pretty accurate. So what about Jesus? Truly the only human being ever to have been given absolute God-given power over everything. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. So what does Jesus do? The beginning of verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus knew that he had been given absolute power. So he stripped down and began to serve those around him. The most powerful person there has ever been in human history knelt at his friend's feet and washed away the ingrained grime of the dusty roads. If we really comprehend this, it is mind-blowing, heart-wrenching, life-changing. Because it wasn't just these disciples that Jesus did that for. You see, in Matthew's eyewitness account of the good news of Jesus' life, we read that on another occasion, Jesus said this to his followers, to his disciples, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." You see, Jesus, God himself, came to serve the whole of creation, every single being, human being that there has ever been or there ever will be. Jesus came to serve every single person here this morning, everybody watching on the live stream, everybody in Wellington, in our schools, our workplaces, our families, our neighbourhoods. Jesus came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for every single one of us. And that's not all. As we read on in this chapter of John, what do we read? We hear Jesus saying, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." And then right at the end, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So here's the thing. If we want to get closer to Jesus, to follow Jesus, to learn from Jesus, then we need to be doing what he did. We need to be following his example. And this idea and the way that it works out in practice is picked up in our reading from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Where are we? Ephesians 4, wasn't it? Ephesians 3, something like that. Ephesians 4. Paul is writing to this young church, this young group of Christians, and what does he write? He picks out some of the gifts that Jesus has given to people to fulfill ministries within the church. And he goes on to say why these gifts are given in verse 12. "To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." To equip God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, each one of us has different skills and gifts. We're not all the same. We're created individual. Some of those gifts and skills are part of our kind of, if you like, natural, our personality, the way we were born, if you like. Some of them we've really worked on and developed during our lives. Some are a bit of both. But whatever they are, and however we've come by them, They are all given to us by God, the God who created us. And why were they given to us? Not primarily for ourselves, but for the good of those around us. Not primarily for ourselves, but for the good of those around us. But what does Jesus say? Jesus said, if you do these things now that you know them, you will be blessed. You see, the great thing about the economy of God is that as we serve others, as we use our gifts for the good of others, we find that it builds up us as well. It's like this virtuous circle of mutual encouragement and building up. You see, that's what I love about this image that Paul uses of the body. You see, as a body grows, so each part of the body grows. And as each part of the body grows, so does the whole body. They go together, they're completely linked. There's no way of separating the healthy growth of the body from the healthy growth of the members of the body, or the healthy growth of the members of the body from the growth of the body as a whole. You see what I mean? I mean, if as a child I grew up and my arm grew at a different rate to everything else, that wouldn't be healthy growth, would it? If it didn't grow at the same rate as the rest of the body, that wouldn't be healthy growth either. They're completely linked. So it is with the body of Christ, the church. There's no separating the healthy growth of the parts of the body from the healthy growth of the whole body. As a church, as a community of followers of Jesus, they are completely linked, completely connected, interdependent. So, if we want to grow closer to Jesus, to follow Jesus, to learn from Jesus as his disciples, then we do that by serving each other, giving of ourselves to each other in the church and beyond the church, so that we can all grow together. And it's in this way that the whole body grows and builds itself up in love, as Paul says, as each one does its part. And sometimes this positive feedback loop is experienced directly. So, I mean, for instance, we had the CAP quiz last night, and there were folk there who spent ages setting up and preparing the quiz and preparing the food and really serving in that way. And they were tired this morning. Poor old Barry, exhausted. But had a really good time doing it, and real camaraderie, real sense of achieving something together as we were hearing the testimonies from the deck coaches. Yes, they serve the clients that they go and see, but they get such a lot from that. I know that those who are part of the young church team here at All Saints find the experience of actually spending time with our young people and seeing them grow in faith and that trust in Jesus is massively rewarding. Yes, they have to give up being in here listening to me. Oh, the sacrifice. and time to prepare and all that kind of things. But actually, the reward of seeing these young people experiencing what God has for them is fantastic. There was the Oasis meal this week. And again, the kitchen team there, massive camaraderie there as they serve those they prepare the monthly meal for. I know that as we've been working with some of our Ukrainian friends, as they've come here and we've been working with them to set up support groups and language classes and get jobs, yeah, there's been a sense of sacrifice in the service, but also a massive privilege of getting to know people from a different culture and hosting them, and it's been a mutually blessing. Street pastors tell me of the privilege they find it is to go out onto the streets and to meet with young people in their time of need. This feedback loop that as we serve, we experience God's blessing is really evident in a whole range of the ministries we see within the church and beyond the church. Now, I don't want to pretend that it's always rosy in the garden, or that it's always easy, and that it's always easy to see those positive effects. To be honest, sometimes it can just feel like hard work and not much appreciated either. there are times, some tasks that just need to be done, and it can feel like washing feet, smelly and dirty and not always noticed. Jobs like that in every household, in every family, they just need doing. Isn't always easy, isn't always glamorous, don't always see the benefits. We just do it because we're called to serve. We are all called to serve in and beyond the church. And as we do, we discover that we are getting closer to Jesus. Now, that's all very well, Tim, you might be saying to yourself, but I just don't have time. I've got so much on already. Life is busy. I just don't know how I can see how I can do this. And I get that. I do. So rather than taking on new things, perhaps it's about being deliberate, about being servant-hearted in what we already do. In our families, in our workplaces, in our friendships, what does it look like to build others up, to encourage, to follow Jesus' example, and to wash other people's feet? That might be one way of thinking about it. Or it may be that God is calling you to put something down to free up time and energy for service in another area of life. Maybe it's something to think on, to talk to Christian friends about, to talk about in your small group, to pray about. You might be thinking that you'd love to serve, but you just don't have the capacity. Perhaps you'll, for various reasons, advancing years, chronic illness, you just feel worn out, burnt out, post-COVID, and just feel like you can't take any more. You just haven't got it. That's a reality, and God sees your weariness. God sees. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. So this heart of service is not about feeling guilty or frustrated about what we can't do. Perhaps it might be about allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us and to show us what we can do. And in some seasons of life, that will actually be more about allowing others to serve us than about us serving others. When Jesus went to wash Peter's feet, what was his reaction? "Oh no, I'm not going to let you do that." And I wonder if for some of us, when we find ourselves in that place of needing help, there's something that stops us being able to receive the service of others that's offered. And actually, maybe in some seasons of life, this is all about learning to receive the service of others. Or it may be that you feel like you want to help, you want to be involved, but you don't know what's out there. You don't know what's possible. Well, what are the opportunities? Well, I can definitely help you with that. Did you know that here at All Saints we have over 50 teams within and beyond the church in doing different types of ministry? And do you know what? Every single one of them has space for new people on it. There is not a waiting list. Some have more of an inward focus, serving within the church. Some have an outward focus, serving beyond the church. Some are a bit of a mix of both. We can provide training where that's needed. Most of them involve some kind of safeguarding clearance or training. There's a list on the website you can go and have a look at if you're looking for an area to serve in, or you can just come and talk to me and say, "Actually, I've got real heart for this. What could I do? Or I've got this amount of time. Is there anything that we could do?" As always in family life, the more people who get stuck in to helping with something, the less energy it takes from everybody involved. The more people who there are on a rota, the less frequently it comes around. So, there are plenty of opportunities if you feel you're being nudged in a particular direction. because we as a church are called to be closer to Christ and are sent to be closer to others. Jesus came to serve and commands us to follow his example. So as we use our helpful hands to serve, so we find ourselves growing up in the faith, growing together in our communities, and growing closer to Jesus. Amen.